Matthew chapter number 6, verses number 5 through 8, as we continue our study, taking the high road to the mountaintop, a study in the Sermon on the Mount, and we've looked at the Christian spirit, the Christian's law, and now the Christian's desire. Last week we talked about the desire to serve, this week the desire to pray. Look at our verses in verse number 5, 6, 7, and 8. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. The desire to pray. I want to say, first of all, that prayer is natural for a Christian. Prayer is natural. It's not natural for a Christian not to pray. It's natural for a Christian to desire to pray. In fact, if you look at verse number 5, how it starts out, and when thou prayest. Verse number 6, but thou when thou prayest. In verse number 7, but when ye pray. Notice it doesn't say if ye pray, but when ye pray. It's normal. It's natural. There's something wrong with a Christian that doesn't pray. And if you are spiritually alive, you pray. If you're spiritually dead, you don't pray. Jonah ran from God. He wasn't much in the attitude of prayer until God put him inside the belly of a whale. Then all of a sudden, he was revived, and he began to pray again. We'll give you this. Prayer is a part of the spiritual birthing process. Prayer is a part of the spirit. You can't get saved without praying. It's a part of the birthing. At birth, we called upon God and we were born again. I was just thinking, Don mentioned today, I thought, boy, a good fight. When I was praying with Don earlier, a good song to sing, some through the fire, some through the flood, and some through the water, but all through the blood. 47 years ago, Don, on this day, that he went through that fire that changed his life. But through that, God brought him to Himself. And I was actually just thinking about it this week, and I don't dig at this very often, but it was, I was adding it up earlier, I believe it was, well, it was this month, I believe it was 44 years ago that I first walked into a Baptist church. Now, I was warned in my confirmation class, don't go to a Satan worship church and don't go to a Baptist church. Any other church is fine, but I thought, what's going to happen here? My wife says sometimes we think they're going to sacrifice chickens there or something. Oh, that's what Baptists do. They sacrifice chickens, right? Anyway, Sylvie, that wherever two or three Baptist preachers are gathered, a chicken must die. or must fry or something. But anyways, that's... thank the Lord for what He's brought us through. And I was looking back at that time when I trusted Christ as my Savior. Of course, I was a stubborn half German, half Swede. Germans are stubborn. Swedes aren't too bright. So it took me a while to finally trust Christ as my Savior. And I'm thankful for that. We're going out to see a new grandbaby, and those that have children, you've been around children when children are born, or of course you see it on the movies and stuff, somebody goes in the other room and they come out with a baby, but it's always a good sign when you hear what? A baby crying. That means they're alive, right? And it's a good sign when a Christian prays. That means they're alive. That means there's life there. That means they're breathing if they're praying. In soul winning, we don't coax people to say a prayer. Some people do. But when somebody gets saved, they cry out sometimes like a baby. They don't have the right words. They don't even sigh. I don't even know what I prayed when I got saved. No one's there to listen to me pray, to remind me of what I said. But I know I did call on the Lord. I'm not sure what the words were that came out my mouth. But prayer is a part of the spiritual birthing process. I'm having trouble getting words out tonight. A healthy Christian is continually growing in prayer. A young Christian, a baby Christian, they're not as fluent. Or, you know, when you're around babies, and it's fun to listen to babies talk, isn't it? And they're not grammatically correct. Some of us adults aren't grammatically correct. And they say some of the funniest things. And the same thing's true with around Christians. You know, they haven't been around to learn the vocabulary of prayer yet. They don't know that every prayer is supposed to start with "Our Father which art in heaven." And they don't know that every prayer is supposed to end with "In Jesus' name, amen." They just talk to God. And by the way, that's what prayer ought to be. It's not. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But as we mature, we do learn to converse a little bit better. We learn to use the language a little bit better. And as we grow, our conversation grows. No relationship is healthy without communication. Prayer is communication. Prayer is a part of true worship. I'm going to make sure I get all the blanks. I didn't skip any blanks yet, did I? Prayer is a part of true worship. We're really not worshiping God unless we're praying. By the way, worship of God is something that almost sounds too spooky or mysterious to us today. It's a word that's misused a lot and misunderstood more than it's misused. But prayer is a part of worship, like music is a part of worship. They are not worship, but they are a part of it. When we go to prayer, I'm amazed sometimes, we think there's some kind of special cadence when we pray. You ever notice that when you pray out loud to somebody? They just kind of go through it's almost like Underdog. Everything rhymes when they pray. Everything kind of has a little pattern to it when they pray. You don't talk to your wife that way, do you? Well, I don't know. Some people might. I don't know. And when you're talking when we think there's some kind of special formula, or we need to add some extra drama, or say "Lord" at beginning and end of each sentence or something, and we just get into this. Prayer is just conversation with God. It's just talking to God. When I was a teenager, there's this guy in Rockford. I think they had a store in Madison. Some of you might remember they advertised on television. Every other commercial on the television or radio was American Furniture. How many remember that place? You ever hear those? With TV Lenny. Oh, yeah. Everything was the biggest and the best. And every time that commercial came out, one of my brothers would notoriously say, "I wonder if he talks to his wife that way." My wife just pulled that one on the other day when some guy was on. And they do that on the news and everything. They over-dramatize everything just to make it. You know, I wonder if that's how they talk at home to each other. You know, and that's communication. It's all it's just talking to God. And we could talk, I spend some time, and I've learned this in my life, that posture in prayer is something that's important. I believe it's important. It's helpful to get in the habit of kneeling when you pray. Even more so than that, get in the habit of falling prostrate before God in prayer. In fact, that's the position I was in when I called upon God to save me. I do remember that. I don't remember what I said, but I know I was laying before God and calling out to Him and crying like a little baby when God saved me. Or we pray oftentimes standing, or we normally close our eyes when we pray. The Bible talks about looking up. It's hard to do that when you're closing your eyes. The Bible talks about weeping while you're praying, lifting up holy hands, having outstretched arms, holding up your hands to God. Clapping your hands is a part of prayer. Uh-oh, we sound like Pentecostals here. Baptists can do that. Wow, it might surprise you. That is something in the Bible. Or leaping in prayer, or even what the Bible calls about dancing in prayer. That's a definition of leaping, or part of dancing, or shouting, singing in prayer. I like to go bike ride, I like to do things, hiking or biking or kayaking, when I'm praying or something. And the other day I was riding the bicycle to nowhere. This time of year, sometimes I'm smart enough to stay inside instead of going outside. And as I call my tell my wife, I'm going to go ride my bicycle to nowhere. That's a silly stationary bicycle. And I rearranged it the other day because we got rid of some stuff in the basement. And sometimes I just get talking to the Lord and forget where I'm at. And it works a lot better when you close your eyes when you're on a stationary bicycle than when you're on a real bicycle. And sometimes I just raise my hands. I can do that on a real bike as long as I'm going fast enough. But the other day I was doing that in the bait, and I just lift up my hands talking to the Lord. Whack! About broke my hand. I rearranged it, and there's a big plumbing pipe right above my head. I hit it, but that's a good way to pray. Sometimes I'm out riding my bike, I just got to pull over for a while and fall on my face before God and talk to Him in prayer for a while. And that posture and prayer is something that I think is very important, but I'm not spending our time there. But it's natural for a Christian to pray. I hope you experience a true prayer life. Now, I'm going to say this. Secondly, prayer is conversation. Prayer is conversation. The word prayer simply means what? Two simple words. One two-letter word, one three-letter word. To ask. It means to ask. It means to petition, to ask with earnest zeal or worshipful, bowing down to God. And by the way, bowing down is a part of the definition of the word worship. We can get into worship, but when we get into that, a conversation does involve two or more people. You're not talking to yourself when you're praying. And God is this is important for our day to understand this. God's a person. He's not an object. He's not an empty influence. He's not the force. May the force be with you. He's not good vibes. I'm sending, having a moment of silence is not prayer. We're not sending positive thoughts or positive energy. You see that all the time. That's not prayer. Prayer is a conversation. We're talking to Him, a person. He's not some mystical being out there. He is a person. And the difference is He doesn't have a flesh like you and I do. Jesus became a man, put flesh on Himself for a short time in this earth, but He's not limited with flesh. He's above all things, but He is above all else a person. We're talking to a person when we pray. You ever go through a store, and I absolutely refuse to do this in public, but these silly Bluetooth things, you know, and you smile and they got a Bluetooth. Somebody, you walk through a store, you walk up behind somebody, they're just having a great old conversation. Thought, what in the world's wrong with them? Huh? I thought, well, boy, well, you ever talk to yourself? Yeah, I do talk to myself. Like I say, sometimes you need expert advice. So, other than that, I don't really talk to myself. And you hear people, now, those things are convenient, but I'm not going to do it when somebody else is around. It's just silly. And some people got to wear that thing all the time. It's kind of an awkward thing when somebody's there talking to no one. But you're on the phone, I guess. You are talking to someone. But in reality, everyone, or just think of this, everybody prays. I've never met anybody that doesn't pray. Now, I've met a few people that say they don't pray, but they still do pray. They just have, I don't know who they pray to. Most people today, in fact, it's sad to say, a lot of Christians pray to themselves. Boy, you can do it. Yes, you can. Oh, yeah. And power of positive thinking. That's not prayer. Just the question is, who are we praying to? We're praying to the person of Jesus Christ, to God Himself. And a part of prayer, and I mention this often, that we often tell kids that prayer is talking to God, and reading the Bible is listening to God. Prayer ought to be a conversation. A conversation involves two people. You ever think of that? Prayer involves listening is a part of prayer. In fact, listening is where understanding comes from. If I'm not listening, I'm not gaining any understanding. Now, I mentioned this the understanding, and I'll give you a definition right now in the book of Proverbs, the three key words in Proverbs: knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge is gaining facts, or the definition I give, regurgitating facts. You tell me something, I memorize, I spit it back out to you. That's knowledge. Knowledge doesn't help you much. That's knowledge without wisdom, without understanding, is a very dangerous thing. A lot of folks are content to have knowledge, but that's as far as they go. Wisdom and understanding are to be built upon knowledge. Wisdom is seeing things through other people's perspective. The wisdom of God is seeing things through His perspective. What I'm getting at here is you cannot pray properly if you're not in the Word of God. If you're not memorizing and meditating on Scripture, you're not praying right. Did you catch that? We need to understand that today. A lot of folks don't see the importance, the value of memorizing and meditating on Scripture. If you're not memorizing and meditating on Scripture, you are not praying right. You're not praying with wisdom. And you are never going to have understanding, because understanding is seeing things through or knowing the mind of a person. Now, my wife and I have been married for almost 40 years. That's hard to believe still. I can't believe that. But we kind of understand the way each other thinks sometimes. Sometimes. You know, that's a big qualification, right, men? Sometimes. I understand why she's thinking, why she's doing something, because we've been around with you, we've conversed enough. We begin to, and when you have a relationship with God and you're in His Word, and His Word is, you're beginning to see things through His perspective, and then you know the mind and the character of God. That's understanding. I was thinking of a few years ago, Brother Todd didn't know that I was an electrician until the other day when I was talking to him. Before we came here, when we remodeled the house next door, we had to redo all the plumbing and all the electrical, and I do everything I can to get out of the plumbing, but I love to do the electrical part, and I've had different people helping me, and it's kind of difficult to get a wire from the basement to the attic and then back down to the rooms and with somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. So I called one of my brothers and said, could you come down? And in one day, we got more done than I could get with myself or with another helper, and in a couple of weeks, because we grew up doing that together. And we know what each other, we don't even have to tell each other what we're doing. We just know what he's going to go up. Well, he's upstairs. I know what he's going to be doing. I'm going to listen for the chain to rattle, and I'm going to know where I'm going to drop the hook the wire on so he can pull it up. And you have that communication. You have that, and that's, by the way, what understanding is. You know what that person's thinking. You know what they're going to do. And that's a part of prayer. And it comes from having the Word of God in our prayer life. And then prayer is not only a conversation. It's a two-way conversation. But it's a comfortable conversation. Now, I want to ask for a show of hands, but do you know anyone that's just kind of awkward to talk to? Don't look at anybody right now, okay? Oh, Garrett's looking at people and pointing at people right now. You know, some people are just hard to talk to. Sometimes it's because they don't stop talking long enough for you to get a word in edgewise. Sometimes it's because you're not sure where the conversation's heading. Sometimes you're not sure if they're engaged. Sometimes you're not sure if it's possible for them to engage in the conversation. But it's a comfortable conversation. It's not something that you're, you know, some people just talk because they're nervous. They got to talk because it's quiet. Some of us like the quiet, but some people don't like that quiet. And some people are just hard to talk to, but prayer ought to be comfortable. We ought to feel comfortable talking to God. Sometimes you got to walk on eggshells around certain people, because if you say the wrong thing, they're going to come unglued, and it might be a volcano going up. But God, you can say whatever you want to. And by the way, He says things that we don't want to hear sometimes. We'd be best to listen to Him. And by the way, most of the time we're fine with others listening in on that conversation. When I'm talking to my wife, I don't really care. Most of the time somebody's listening to the conversation. Then we're talking to somebody. I don't care if you come into the conversation. Most of the time, it doesn't really matter. We'll just go on here. Number three. Look at verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Prayer is not for show. Prayer is not for show. I want to mention this. Jesus is not condemning public prayer. There are many examples in the Bible of public prayer. Many examples in Jesus' life of public. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, well, I don't pray in public because of this verse? You ever heard anybody say that before? That's a foolish argument. He's not condemning public prayer. It's nothing to do with saying it's wrong to pray in public. But the most important praying we do is in private. And he talks about the hypocrite in our text. You know what a hypocrite is? That's anybody we don't agree with, right? That's the modern definition of a hypocrite. Anybody that believes in something that I don't agree with, I call them a hypocrite. That seems to go. It's kind of like anything that politically you don't agree with somebody, you just call them a communist and leave it at that. And anybody you don't agree with, but prayer, we're not talking about hypocrisy here. A hypocrite is playing, we talked about this, gave you this definition last week, I believe. A hypocrite is somebody playing the part. It's actually somebody acting something that they are not. Feigning to be what we are not is literally the dictionary definition. But the prayer under number three, if I'm looking at this right, Jesus is not condemning public prayer. And the prayer closet is the most important room in our spiritual house. The prayer closet's the most important room in our spiritual house. I love to pray outside. Partially because when I got saved, the only quiet place I could find in our house was outside the house. Anywhere you went in our house, you could hear the television going. Because my dad was about my age and his hearing is about like mine. Anytime he's home, the television's on. And we had a huge house, but you couldn't get away from hearing that television in the house. If you went to one of my brother's rooms, they were trying to drown out the television by turning up their music. I couldn't pray with that stuff going on. So I just got used to going out in the woods to pray and still love to go out. That's why I like to be outside all the time. That's the best place I know to get a hold of God, to pray and to sing, to cry out to God and to read and to study is out. Best place is still in the wilderness. Number four, prayer is not vain repetition. Look at verse number 7. When ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard with their much speaking. What is repetition? I guess the easiest way to define repetition is repeating something over and over and over and over and over and over and over. That's repetition, all right? There's nothing wrong with repetition. I want you to see that. In fact, Jesus encourages repetition in our prayer. We say, well, wait a minute. Use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Look, I want to look at a couple of verses of Scripture quickly. Luke chapter number 11. I want to read these. Some of you might know the word that goes in there. Maybe not the first one. You probably know the second verse that we're going to look at. Luke chapter number 1. I want you to turn there to see this whole section here. Luke chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, by the way, Jesus is praying, other folks are listening in. There's nothing wrong with that. We don't have to go hide where nobody's going to hear us praying. Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us, my Lutheranism's kicking in, I'm just quoting it by memory the way we learned it. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's very obviously teaching on prayer. And he said unto them, which of you, shall have a friend and shall go out, go unto him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity will he rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto you. Because of his importunity. What is importunity? The literal dictionary definition is pressing solicitation, urgent and frequent requests. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep knocking. I got in the habit, maybe a bad habit, years ago, especially when my study was right next to the boys' bedroom when they were little, of talking to the Lord and knocking when I pray because of that verse. God, I'm knocking. You said you'd hear if you knock. And what in the world are you doing down there? Pounding nails? I'm just talking to the Lord and knocking. God said, that's our importunity. Just keep asking. Keep persisting. There's something urgent. God encourages repetition. Look at Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. A couple more chapters ahead. We'll come back to Matthew in a minute here. And by the way, notice the parallels in the different Gospels, but we're not looking at that right now. Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 1, very obviously, teachings on prayer. And he spake a parable unto them to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feareth not God, neither regardeth man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her because her continual coming, she weary me. She continually came to him. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? And will we keep praying? Continually pray. I think of Janelle praying for years for her husband to get saved. Thank God he's in heaven right now. For years. I prayed for my own dad to get saved. I remember for a year or two, my sister and I, we had one day every week that we would not only pray, but we would fast for dad's salvation. Prayed for years for him to get saved. I'm so glad that he's saved. So glad that he's in heaven now because he got saved. Continually. Well, I prayed for that once. Oh, God's not against repetition. What he's against, again in verse number 7, is what? Use not what? Vain repetition. That's what he's against. The vain, the empty, the meaningless, without emotion, the robotic, the ritualistic prayer. That's what he's against. The vain repetition. And I can use a lot of illustrations of the religion that I grew up in. All our praying really was vain repetition. We prayed from a book. I remember I get asked every once in a while, do you have a prayer book? Yeah, it's called the Bible. That's my prayer book. Huh? We were taught to pray. We had a book of prayers to say. That was just really vain repetition. Prayer is a conversation. You know, I talk to my wife. I don't read to her out of a book. I talk to her. And God gives us in the Word of God teachings, instruction on prayer. In fact, I've learned the value early in my Christian life of using another book to pray. And that's this song book right here. I want to encourage folks to memorize these songs because they're great songs to sing to the Lord while you're praying. Sometimes I just get away, get singing the Lord. Sometimes I'll put a funny accent on, or even change the words sometimes on purpose. And I hope nobody hears me. They might think I'm going charismatic or something. But every once in a while, somebody will walk in on me when I'm saying. I usually do that when I'm a prayer closet, far, far away where no one can hear me. But there's a great prayer book. We're talking about vain. God's against vain repetition. The empty, meaningless words that we just chant, we just speak. And then number five, prayer. Oh, this is important. Prayer reveals our heart. Prayer reveals. I said everybody prays. Do we pray to ourselves? Do we pray to the universe out there somewhere? Do we pray to a good luck charm? Prayer reveals what's in our heart. Remember, prayer is a two-way conversation. Prayer is a two-way conversation. I want you to see something, and I point this out. Sometimes I take for granted that because I say this often, people get it. Some people, I say it 100 times before people maybe will finally get it. Hebrews chapter number 4, I want you to see something in Hebrews chapter number 4. You maybe memorize one or two of the verses, and yesterday I was encouraged by a Christian that told me that I did something just to see if I could do it, and I was surprised how easy it was to do. I just read through the entire Bible in a week. Wow, I didn't know if I could do that. But once you get started, it's hard to stop. And they just worked, they just thought, 8 hours a day for 5 days a week, that's what you normally work. You can read through the whole Bible. Can I try it, Connor? Connor's looking at me. There's something about reading through the Bible. And sometimes I fear that we look at the Bible and I was just sharing how I love to, I know some people have a daily routine that they go by, but sometimes most of my Bible time is just studying one or two verses. In my Bible reading, I prefer, last week I read the book of Genesis. This week I started in the book of Exodus. I didn't get all the way through, about halfway through, then I'm finishing. I like to read whole books at a time. You get so much more. And that's what they were sharing with me, how much more you understand when you read the whole thing. You get such a big picture and such a different picture. And even just when you memorize Scripture, you memorize one little verse here and there, you don't see how they're all connected. And I think there's a good illustration here in Hebrews chapter number 4, because there's two verses that you probably have memorized, but you maybe have not seen the connection of them before. In verse number 12, in fact, we could even go farther back than that. Whenever I memorize a verse, I like to read and study the whole chapter so I can make sure I'm understanding what that verse is saying. In verse number 12, for the Word of God, that's obviously talking about the Bible. We quote that often, talking about the Bible, is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God shows us what's in our heart. And here is the reason why it's so important when you pray to have a two-way conversation, to let God speak to you through the Word that you memorize, that you're meditating on. That's an important part of your prayer, your Bible meditation time. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That's what the Bible does. It shows us what's in our heart. We can't hide anything when we're in the Word of God. It pierces our heart and shows us things that we don't even know about ourselves. And when we learn to pray with that two-way conversation, look what it says in verse number 14. The prayer and the Bible go hand in hand together. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And notice verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. To come boldly. If you study that word out, you'll find out it means hiding behind nothing. Literally, it's very similar to the word naked. We can't hide anything. We're in the open. And that's how we ought to be when we pray. And when we pray and use the Word of God, that two-way conversation, it's amazing how that God will show us who we are and He'll reveal things to us in prayer. Oftentimes, God has changed. We're in the last couple of weeks. Well, I guess in the last month. I don't know how many pages my prayer list is, but I had to just scratch one whole page. And I said, you know what? God was showing me I'm praying all wrong here. Because I was meditating on Scripture and reading Scripture while I was praying. And God said, that's not how you ought to be praying. And God said, I want you to get rid of that page in your prayer book, and I want to show you how you're supposed to pray. And I said, yes, sir. God will change your prayer if you're listening to Him while you're talking to Him. If you're listening to yourself, what you're saying to Him while you're praying. That'll do not a lot right there. When prayer becomes, and this is what God was showing me again, He's shown me this many times. When prayer becomes a one-way conversation, God do this, God that, here you go, there, amen. When it's a one-way conversation, we're really just exposing our self-righteousness. God, I've got it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. I mentioned maybe last week or something, I'm not sure where it was. You get all kind. If you do anything for God, you're going to have a lot of people criticizing you. And sometimes even, I've learned this a number of years ago, that I pay close attention to all criticism. I'm going to listen to all criticism. Even from the most vile, I mean if the town drunk, and I've got some criticism from the town drunk, a couple of town drunks. I've got some chewing out, like, I mean sometimes it's so bad I want to correct their English. I'm not an English major, but you're not using those curse words right. But whenever I hear criticism, I take it to the Lord in prayer. And it's not, God, show them that they're wrong. I say, there's a reason they're criticizing me. There's a reason God allowed me to hear that. You see, I'm not like some people. I'm not always right. And God can use that to correct some things in my life. Now, what they said might be completely false, but it will point out something. If nothing else, point out a sensitivity that ought not to be there. Points out that I've not died to myself because it hurts when other people poke holes in me. If you're dead to yourself, that doesn't hurt when people abuse you and mistreat you. And if nothing else, it'll show me that. If I'm offended, if I'm upset, that means I've not crucified my flesh properly. And I need to learn to die to myself in a greater way. But remember to listen to God in prayer. And what other folks say is maybe a reason folks say some things. And God will take that and sometimes use some things in praying and understanding how to pray effectively. In biblical prayer, I'm going to look at verse number 8. I'm in the wrong page. I'm going to turn back. Verse number 8, be not therefore as them that... For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Isn't that amazing? I was thinking of this. In biblical prayer, we discover what our needs are. God already knows what we need. We don't know what we ought to ask for. That's what praying in the mind of God, praying according to His will. When we learn to listen to Him when we pray, we learn to pray according to His will. I had a little girl that came on the bus, well, her parents came kind of off and on little Renee DeGeorge. Most of you know her. When she was just a little girl, she wanted to get baptized. And I remember talking to her mom and dad about getting, and they weren't real faithful to church and things. And so I went and questioned them. And I remember that conversation. And Renee was just always, she still has a funny, funny girl to visit with. Just a sweet little girl. Now she's a mama, but now her little boy reminds me a whole lot of her whenever I see him. But I remember she had this question, and she was afraid to ask the preacher when he came over. And mom, yeah, kind of kept prodding, go ahead and ask him, ask him. She says, she's got this question she doesn't know the answer for. And she asked the question that a lot of kids will ask, if God already knows what our needs are, why does he ask us to pray? By the way, how do you answer that question? God already knows what our needs are. Why does he ask us to pray? And I just said what I normally do. Well, he enjoys the conversation. He enjoys hearing us ask and providing the things that we ask him for. But I thought, you know, there's something a whole lot deeper than that. Because he desires to show us what our greater needs are. He knows what we need, but we don't know what we need. We don't know how we should pray. But if we're in tune with him, he will show us how we ought to pray. In biblical prayer, when we have a relationship with him in prayer, that's when we discover what God's will is for our life. Now, to try to explain that to a lost person or a Christian that really doesn't have a real intimate prayer life, how do you know? I remember when I was doing electrical work and I was working with somebody, it was one of these places where somebody had to be with me the whole time I'm there to make sure I didn't blow anything up or something. So he had to spend, and I had to go there while they were closed, so I spent a Saturday there, and this guy was following me around. He's asking all these kind of questions, and I was trying to witness to him, and he said, well, you ought to be a preacher. And I said, well, that's what God's called me to do. He said, how do you know God called you to do that? Now, here's a lost man asking questions like that. How do you know that God, did you see your name in the, and I was telling him, oh, we believe the Bible, and he said, do you see your name written down in the Bible? And a lost person can't understand that. And the reality is a lot of Christian people can't really comprehend that. How do you know you're doing exactly what God wants you to do? It's because you have a two-way conversation with God in prayer. And when you talk to him, you hear him responding back to you. Now, I don't hear an audible voice. I know that sounds spooky and goofy to some people, but that's just something real about prayer. Biblical prayer is when we discover God's will for our life. When we know, he already knows what we ask. He's just waiting for us to ask for the right question, ask the right thing from him. Father, we pray.